name of our one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Today's gospel reading from Luke, this parable from Jesus, it's notorious among preachers. So much so, and Melissa gave me permission to share this. We meet, you know, at least once a week, and she apologized to me for having given me this gospel lesson. See, she was supposed to have this weekend. She was supposed to be the preacher this weekend. And then a while back, because, you know, we sit down and do the rota, the preaching schedule, way in advance, and say, you know, I'm going to, and it's usually just every other week, you know. And so we had this thing set some time ago, and then COVID caught up with her. And it flipped our preaching rota so that we decided, and I didn't look at what the gospel was. So in her generosity, we said, okay, she said, well, why don't you take that week? And then, and so we flipped it around, and what it meant was that I'm preaching today. And you didn't have to, but Melissa apologized for it. But that's how notorious it is. Not only because it just seems odd, but it almost, and it's been said before, it almost seems unpreachable. It just brings up so many other questions. Like, for example, is Jesus praising dishonesty? I mean, that's like a really basic question. Seems to be. Is Jesus lauding the falsifying of accounts? The misusing of important documents? See, it doesn't just happen now. It happened back then, too. Who's the manager supposed to be? What is dishonest wealth? Is there honest wealth? Because it doesn't seem like it from this parable. And who are those friends with eternal homes? That's important because I want to get to know them. I would like to make their acquaintance because I could use those for the future. And Jesus says as much. It's always, though, that last line that sticks with me. You might remember the Bob Dylan song. It was right after he converted to Christianity, and he started to become a Christian rock artist. I don't know if you're familiar with that period of his repertoire. 1979 was the first album during that period, decades before I was born. You Gotta Serve Somebody was the single, the first single off the album. And it sounds a bit like Jesus' admonition to us today. As Bob Dylan writes and sings, you may be a businessman or you may be some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. You may be living in another country under another name. You may own guns. You may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Jesus would agree. In fact, I think this is where Bob got that, the impetus for the song. No one can serve two masters. That doesn't seem as cryptic as the parable does. Amidst the questions swirling around the parable for Jesus, it seems fairly clear. We serve God, or we serve something or somebody else. In today's parable, we serve God or we serve wealth. And wealth can be broadly understood. It's not necessarily a figure in a bank account, though it certainly is that as well. Now, Jesus didn't make this up. And if he did, it would be okay, right? Because he's Jesus. But it's not new to Jesus, because wealth and the very closely related issue of impoverishment, which makes wealth possible, wealth and impoverishment are spoken of far more than any other topic in all of Scripture, anything, Jewish and Christian. So some Christians make a big deal about this, and maybe there's a line in Scripture somewhere that can be construed that way, I'll give you that. Or maybe something over here, fine. But nothing in Scripture compares to how often wealth and impoverishment are talked about in Scripture. If you haven't read the Bible from cover to cover, or you haven't read it lately, I'd commend it to you. It's a wonderful book. It's also incredibly shocking what's in there, especially about this topic. Completely countercultural. It says, and you'll need to look for yourself, right? This is the crisp paraphrase. The Holy Writ doesn't put it quite like this. Scripture says, God is not cool. God is not cool with the pursuit of wealth. Scripture says, God is not cool with amassing wealth for its own sake. God's not cool with the use of wealth on one's own self-focused interests and the fulfilling of one's own desires. It says, God is not cool with the generation of wealth that plunders people, plunders communities, plunders the rest of the created order. And God is not cool with systems that enshrine this. Systems, economic systems, social systems, political systems, that enshrine this plunder, this wealth generation, for a few at the expense of many. I'm talking about the United States of America. And Jesus backs this up. Through today's confusing parable, he gives us a better way to see wealth. So it's not just don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. I'm not cool if you do this, I'm not cool if you do that. No, Jesus in Scripture too gives us a better way. A better way to see wealth. It is fleeting. It is fleeting, and so we invest it. We invest it in that which lasts. We use it for the glory of God. We use it for the welfare of us all, for the well-being of the whole of creation. This really is the only true and right purpose for having wealth at all. Now, this isn't a very popular idea. Truly, I feel like I'm just the messenger here. It's not very popular. You're not going to hear this a whole lot. It's not the value system that most of us, if not probably any of us, really grew up with. Interestingly enough, in the increasingly like vocal and extremist white Christian nationalist movement in our country, you know, wanting to revert us back to some supposed Christian past, which never existed, this biblical worldview on wealth would be anathema. They would not subscribe to this biblical worldview as much as they fancy themselves to be some kind of Christian theocratic movement. This is not popular, not with them, and not outside these walls either, but this is what Scripture says. This is what Jesus is referring to over and over again. And we owe it to ourselves then to wrestle with it. We don't need to practice it perfectly because that's not a thing. That doesn't exist. We owe it to ourselves to wrestle with how Scripture views wealth and what Jesus says about it. And I think many of us genuinely struggle with how to rightly order our economic lives. I think we should struggle with that. I struggle with it a lot. How do I honor God with what I have? It's a good question. How do I follow God in the use of what I have been entrusted with? These aren't questions that are answered once and for all. They don't have one answer and then we move on. It's a journey of faith, and so we're journeying in relationship with God and answering these questions and wrestling with them, yes, over and over and over again. How are we making good and right use of our resources, our gifts, however much or little we believe ourselves to have? And I'm glad it's not Pledge Sunday, because this isn't about pledges. It's broader than that. Especially if we realize that these things are not ours at all, right? All of it is God's. Jesus says as much today in Jesus' own words. We are called to be faithful with what belongs to another. We are called to be faithful with what belongs to God. And what belongs to God? Everything. So, sisters and brothers, wealth and anything that we have, really, we can think of it broadly, because God does. These things can be a blessing. They can be a blessing. And they most certainly are a responsibility. Throughout Scripture, again and again, we are called to act justly, to live generously, to look toward the common good, not just our own good, and always and everywhere place right relationship with God at the very center, defining what we do, framing how we act, how we live, our hearts and our minds and our dispositions. You're going to have to serve somebody, Chris. You're going to have to serve somebody, says Jesus and Bob Dylan. So let us offer what we have, our very lives, to serve God's good purposes for us and for all that God has made. Let us, with that dishonest wealth, seek true riches. Amen.